If you asked a group of parents, what is your greatest pleasure? They may say, my children. If you ask the same group of parents, what is your greatest pain? They may also say, my children. I see you nodding your heads, and on the front row, I see some side eyes going from a daughter to a father, which brings to mind phrases like, my parents said to me growing up, I hope your children turn out to be just like you. So you've heard that before. I was confused for a very long time, but then realized it was not an Old Testament blessing that they were giving me. They were sending me on my way. When my daughter's high school built a new building, we purchased a brick. She wanted to have her brick engraved, so I said, well, you can pick whatever quote you like. Ah, this girl. The quote was from Charles Dickens, one of her favorite books, A Tale of Two Cities. It said it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, and that's what her brick said. Of course, her brick was only so big, but I want to remind you of the remainder of that Dickens quote from The Tale of Two Cities. He said it was the age of wisdom, the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief, it was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. Saints, we have come full circle. And full circle, if you did not know, is only possible, is only feasible, is only accomplished in Jesus Christ. Today's 2 Corinthians passage is a text from our very first Sunday together, almost 3 years ago. Also on that day, we received the gift of Holy Communion, and we will receive it today as well. On that day, I said, I think every Sunday we come to worship should feel like my first Sunday here. Check. Thank you, beautiful people of God. I then went on to say, it was a moment I will never forget, one in which I am eternally grateful. And then I talked about cookies and lemonade. I don't know. Maybe I was nervous. But check. During this time of transition, I love to journal. So I thought it would be great to look back on what I wrote during the beginning of our time together. On one page, it clearly says, Lord, who are these people? And this is the passage that came to heart. They are the body of Christ, body of faithful and committed believers. Looking back, it was a prophetic message that has literally brought us full circle. It is a full circle experience, personally, individually, and collectively. We were afflicted in every way. Remember the storm, the chairs, the library, but we were not crushed. We were perplexed with COVID. Outside worship, frozen pumpkins. Worship inside with lawn chairs. But we were not driven to despair. We were persecuted with theological differences, with injustices, with pain. But we were not forsaken. We were struck down, but we were not destroyed. And through the movement of the Holy Spirit, we had the guts to glorify God and to love one another just a little bit deeper. We have come full circle. Full circle experience. It's taking third graders and confirming them 3 years later as sixth graders in their faith. A first circle experience is witnessing one of your college students, all grown up, coming to share in your last Sunday. Full circle experience is witnessing the heart of this congregation wake up at 5 a.m. to ensure our community receives free groceries. I did not know your names when I first started. But a full circle experience is knowing your names, your stories, walking with you in your grief, and celebrating new life and new birth and new babies with you. A full circle experience is having a talented staff that will stand by you, even on the days the earth literally stood still. We have come full circle. In this extremely prophetic text, Paul is delivering a message to the church in Corinth. He is addressing the internal and external complications of relationships, reminding the church who they are as followers of Jesus Christ. Not only to God, but to one another. He's speaking about this clay jar or this clay pot that is breakable. It is used in a variety of ways. It is used to hold waste, trash, and even valuables. My dad tells this story of my great-great-grandmother, and I've written about this. She had this tattered old sock. It had holes in it, and it was terrible. But she kept her most valued possessions in that sock. She kept it hidden and would bring it out every once in a while and would show her valuables. It wasn't the sock that held the value. It was what was inside which she cherished. In our text, the Apostle Paul is using this perfect metaphor of this clay pot, this clay jar of who we are on the outside. Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't use that as a basis or a measurement of who has value in our life and who does not? This clay jar metaphor is how we are all unstable, unprotected, and fragile. But when we are in Jesus Christ, when we have a relationship with Christ, on the inside lies a treasure. And this treasure is the extraordinary power of God. This power gives us strength when we mourn. It gives us hope. It gives us courage and showers us with love. We have the power to make short-term decisions, beautiful people. Short-term sacrifices that will give us long-term gain. We have done that here as we've come full circle. We are better now than we were before because of the treasure that lies inside of us. And we will continue to be better tomorrow. How do I know? Not only because I'm smart, but because we are the body of Christ. And life is at work in you. Life. This full circle experience is no longer asking the question, but becoming the question. What does that mean? Others are saying, why are they serving the community at Cokesbury? We are becoming the question. Why are they giving so generously? We are becoming the question. Why are they stepping out of their comfort zones? Why are they loving deeply and fulfilling community needs? Why are they here in the prison, in the halfway houses, in the parking lot at 6 a.m.? Why aren't they in the shelters, in the boards across our community? Why are they still united in Christ when everyone else is scrambling for cover? What is it about Cokesbury? We stop asking the questions and have become the question, why and what is going on over there? What is it about Cokesbury? Well, their crazy pastor told them to step out of their comfort zone for the past 3 years, just about every Sunday. Saints, the first verse in chapter 4 tells us, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, this treasure, this value, this power, this encouragement, we do not lose heart. Even when it's time to begin another ring around the circle, we do not lose heart. 1 John 3 tells us that we know that we have transferred from death to life because we love the brothers and sisters. The person who does not love remains in death. But this is how we know Jesus. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We have come full circle. The treasure of the Holy Spirit cannot be blocked, and the movement of God cannot be hindered. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be visible in us. So that it may be clear to every single person who is worshiping with us today, this extraordinary power to get up at 6 a.m., to go into the presence, to be a part of the prison, to go out into the community, is the extraordinary power of God. God has used you in an amazing way. And we have come full circle. My full circle experience is God answering my five-word question. Lord, who are these people? In hearing, do not worry. You will know them by their love. And I know you by your love. So I end with this. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son in the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice of our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us. So we have known, and we believe, the love that God has for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Saints, beautiful people, all God's children, I did not worry, because I knew I would know you by your love. So don't stop loving generously, powerfully, unselfishly, so everyone who meets you will know that you love God and that God abides in you. After all, God is good. And all the time, you are loved by God and forever etched in my heart. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for this moment as we go to this table of grace, this table of love, and sacrifice and endurance and strength and hope and mercy and joy and celebration, knowing what you did for us on behalf of us, so that we could have eternal life in you and abundant life here on earth. For this, we are grateful. Thank you for this congregation, whom I have known by their love, their abundance of love, their generosity, their commitment, their steadfast ways. And their grace. Those who welcome the stranger, those who sit with each other in their grief, and those who celebrate with one another, we are grateful. Thank you, God, for these beautiful people that have been given to me for such a time as this. And now I give back to you. In Christ's name we do pray. And all of God's children said,